Good day and welcome. I'm Paul Levoy.
And I'm Sarah Ribbon.
And this is Week in Brief, your weekly roundup of the biggest news in regulation, licensing, and digital government.
Today, we'll be discussing the top stories for the week of March 20th, including calls for new aerospace medicine licensure standards, debates around regulatory consolidation measures in New Hampshire, new teacher licensing measures out of Iowa, and more.
Sarah, you've been on the teacher licensure beat for a bit. Why don't you tell us what's happening in Iowa?
The Iowa House last week passed measures claiming to address teacher shortages in the state. The first proposal, House File 255, would allow for two new routes for teacher licensure. Iowans with a bachelor's degree and 3 years of work experience could apply for a teacher intern license to teach 6th through 12th grade. They would not have to meet other licensing requirements, but they would be required to complete additional coursework during their internship. The bill would also create a temporary license for Iowans with a 4-year degree who received alternate teaching certification from an online program, and full licensure would require completing a teacher mentoring program as well as additional programming through the State Department of Education.
You mentioned multiple proposals. What else are lawmakers working on?
The Iowa House also moved to give parents more influence over Iowa education. House File 430 would change mandatory reporting requirements for Iowa teachers, and it would give parents a larger role in the state board overseeing educators. The Board of Educational Examiners is currently comprised of 12 members, 2 members of the public, the director of the Department of Education, and 9 school staff, including teachers, counselors, a school administrator, and a school service personnel. This bill would modify the makeup to 5 licensed practitioners, 5 parents, and 1 school board member.
How have educators themselves responded to the changes?
So both bills are somewhat controversial. Democrats say providing more funding to schools would be a better path to help address teacher shortages. Opponents to the measures, including some former educators, said these bills could create worse educational outcomes for Iowa students by not holding Iowa teachers to high standards. The change to the structure of the oversight board is also controversial. Democratic Representative John Farb said this change would take power away from educational professionals who are, quote, in the trenches in schools. By contrast, Republican Representative Brooke Bowden said, quote, I think it's a good mix. I think parents have a voice in school. So lots of discussion here around these issues. I understand there's been some licensure developments in New Hampshire. What's happening there?
That's right. As we reported back in February, New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu has called for the elimination of dozens of licenses and regulatory boards. He proposed the changes in his budget address, and he argues that they were needed to attract workers. He wants to eliminate specifically 34 licenses in sectors ranging from small businesses to healthcare. He also wants to kill 14 whole regulatory boards and allow those with licenses in other states to work in New Hampshire, something we've been seeing across a few states recently. It stirred some controversy. Supporters and opponents spoke out at a budget hearing last Monday.
Which professions in particular are being removed, and what are those opponents saying?
Well, representatives from regulated midwives, landscape architects, stenographers, psychologists, podiatrists, nursing, acupuncturists. So you can see it's quite varied. They're all on the record as opposing the bill. Board members have argued that the boards are working well and that there's nothing to change. Representing her profession, Kate Hartwell of the New Hampshire Midwifery Council said the elimination of licensing, quote, threatens every aspect of our profession, including public safety. You might recall this comes at a time when some other states are looking to begin licensure for midwives. So it's interesting to see New Hampshire remove it.
So then what's next?
Well, White House executive departments and administrative committee members voted to oppose certain aspects of the governor's licensing board proposal, including 7 boards. Chairman of the House Finance Committee, Ken Whaler, said he felt it was unlikely that the committee would recommend elimination of some, including those related to landscape architecture and soil science, for example. The Senate also has to develop its own budget, which will likely incorporate elements from both the governor's and the House budget. And the whole process should conclude around June, when they hope to settle an overall budget for the next 2 years. Now, we've seen many states pass bills to support military families in the past year, and I understand New Jersey is making similar moves.
Yes, last Friday, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed a bipartisan bill to help veterans obtain nursing licenses in the state. A 2722 would ease the path to nursing licensure for veterans with medical training. The bill recognizes the qualifications of honorably discharged veterans who completed the Army Practical Nurse Program, or, and hopefully I say this right, the Air Force BMTCP-4N051 with the 5 skill level or their equivalents. Those veterans will be eligible to apply for licensed practical nurse or LPN licenses in lieu of obtaining a diploma from a school of practical nursing. The bill is intended to both address the nursing shortage statewide in New Jersey and also to provide support to the state's veteran workforce.
What's led to this move in the first place?
So as I mentioned, this bill really has come out of an attempt to address the nursing shortage statewide. A new report says the nurse staffing shortage is getting worse in New Jersey, and that's really come from a few different areas. First, New Jersey's healthcare workforce could lose another 10,000 nurses to retirement or other jobs over the next few years. The report also found significant turnover among nurses. Between a quarter and a half each year change jobs. The report also calls out a lack of faculty and nursing programs. 9 out of 10 programs are unable to enroll additional students. And fourth, this report calls out the aging population. More than 2/3 of nurses in New Jersey are 56 and older.
So what's next?
Well, in addition to this measure related to veterans' access to nurses' licenses, there are a few other proposals that have been introduced in the legislature. Assemblyman Lou Greenwald last fall introduced a package of 9 bills to address the healthcare staffing shortage. Most of these bills have had at least one committee hearing, but there is a way to go before they actually are finally passed into law. Senator Joe Vitale has also introduced a complex bill to beef up nursing education. This bill passed out of committee in June, but still awaits review in the Senate Budget Committee. So, Paul, I hear there's talk of licensing doctors in space. What's that all about?
That's right. A research professor at Western University is calling for changes to the Canadian medical licensing system, changes that would allow doctors to provide care for Canadians in space. In a recent paper published in the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers Open Journal for Engineering and Medicine and Biology, as if that's not a handful of publication title, they proposed possible solutions such as developing a kind of a pan-jurisdictional license for doctors to practice in all provinces and space.
So is this something that is needed?
Well, at first blush, that's a very legitimate question. Why are we worried about space doctors while we are dealing with an ongoing and transnational health crisis here on the ground? But you look a little deeper and it starts to make a bit of sense. Space is a zero-G environment. If we had zero-G operating rooms here on Earth, one probably would need a license for zero-G surgery. Although much of the care that these licensed space doctors would provide would be done remotely from Earth, doctors practicing space medicine need to understand the environment, including the pressure, the lighting, the atmosphere, and the resources and tools on board. The CMA has been calling for a pan-jurisdictional licensure for Canadian physicians for a number of years now. This would accomplish that aim, but also give doctors the ability to practice in space in an era where space travel has already arrived to an extent with private enterprises like SpaceX and Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic driving space tourism. But no one's been talking about who will provide medical care for space tourists and what the standard of care they should follow should be. So it's all really ahead of the need right now. In my humble opinion, we should be regulating space debris before we regulate medicine in space, but there's no reason we can't do both at once.
So what's next?
Well, the Royal College recently made changes to its pathway for doctors to obtain credentials for aerospace medicine, and its committee responsible for discipline-specific standards is now piloting the route. Currently, there are only two people who have been certified in aerospace medicine through the Royal College, but it said that with this new route, it anticipates demand for the credential will grow. Well, that's all for this week. I'm Paul.
And I'm Sarah.
Don't forget to sign up for Ascend Magazine's Week in Brief. The link is in the show notes. And subscribe to Ascend Radio.